Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We, the management of Fatihpur Quran Islamic Center, give thanks to Allah who enriched us with the ability and prowess to document this indispensable collection of lectures delivered by Abu Nasir Ibrahim Abdurrahouf. Concerning Abu Nasir Ibrahim Abdurrahouf, we beseech Allah to enrich him with more than efficient knowledge and sound health. Of these lines,
070-952-3963 0802-557-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571-2430-2571- أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أباد سبحانه وتعالى. Why did choose to write or compile 40 ahadith? Why 40? Why not 50? Why not 60? Why not 100? Why not 70? Why not 10? Why 40? Alayhi rahmatullah. I'll try to explain some of these matters and then try to place Al-Imam al-Nawawi himself in our minds. Try to make us understand who this Imam was. Alayhi rahmatullah. And the book. So today, inshallah, we'll be discussing the book and the Imam. The book, the Arba'un al-Nawawiyah, and the Imam, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, wrote the book, Al-Arba'un. The ulama, regarding its name, as it is popularly known, as Arba'un al-Nawawiyah, this copy, or this tahqiq, editing, and of this book by Jamal ibn Nasr Abdus Salam, he writes it as Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyah, the 40 narrations of al-Nawawi. But the real name, this is what it is popularly known. The book is popularly known as Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyah. But the real name of the Imam, alayhi rahmatullah, the Imam al-Nawawi, named the book, is not usually mentioned. So he himself, alayhi rahmatullah, named the book Al-Arba'un fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawa'id al-Ahkam. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, he named the book Al-Arba'un fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawa'id al-Ahkam. 40 narrations regarding the foundations of Islam and the fundamentals of Islamic rulings. So this is the name of the book. And we will see the name in the book itself. Because he said, Mabani al-Islam, foundations of Islam. So he started with a hadith that has to do with ikhlas. And then he followed it with a hadith that has to do with Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. He followed it with a hadith that has to do with Bunya al-Islam. He followed it with a hadith that has to do with... So in each of the hadiths, you'll be having inclinations. You'll be having something to do with the foundations of Islam. What Islam? Of course, أصحابي سوريد إن شاء الله. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. So no act of ibadah is considered right, is considered acceptable in the Sharia, except that its intention is correct. So you see, that foundation has to be the foundation of what? Islam. Else the work is useless. So and then he explains Iman, he brought the narration of Iman and all this. So we see it in the end when we get into the book, inshallah. But the book actually has to do with Mabani al-Islam. And like he said, Qawaid al-Ahkam. The fundamental rules, guiding rules, that has to do with the rulings of Sharia. So we find these two major things in this book. In the choice of the hadith that the Imam has made. Alayhi rahmatullah. The actual name of the book is Al-Arba'un fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam, but popularly known as Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyya. That is the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Alayhi rahmatullah. The narrations in this book, Al-Arba'un, even when they are called Arba'un, they are more than Arba'un. The narrations in this book are 42 in number. We have 42 narrations, 42 ahadith. He has named it 40. Why? Alayhi rahmatullah. The ulama, they explain that what he did is أطلق عليها أربعين تدليبا وحذف الكسر الزائد. So what he did is أطلق عليها أربعين. He generally mentioned the name Arba'un of the book, Tadliban, to make us understand that much of it is 40. What is more than 40 is small. So فحذف الكسرة الزائد. So the two that is on it, he left it aside. So he could say 42, but he said 40, leaving out the two. And this is common with the Arabs. They do that. When Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu and others reported hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ala ra'si sitteen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died at the dot of 60. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died at the dot of 60. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The same Anas bin Malik alayhi rahmatullah narrated the hadith that Tufiya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa ibn salas wa sitin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died and he was 63 years old. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So how do we understand it? Al-Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah and before him Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah explained. But we'll recite to read to us what Imam al-Zahabi said. Alayhi rahmatullah. Alayhi rahmatullah, Imam al-Zahabi, Ahmad ibn Muhammad, Shamsuddin al-Zahabi, in Sira Lam al-Nubala, the third volume, the second volume, page 336, with the tahqiq of Muhammad Ayman al-Shabrawi. He said that, هذا على سبيل حذف المكسورة. He said, this is the manner of cutting off the excess, the broken aspect. You see, 42. So that which is broken off is cut off. Al-qalila, the small one that is broken off is cut off. La ala sabil al-tahrir. It is not giving us the exact value. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that exactly. It is telling us at, like we say in English language, round off figure. He died at 63. So he rounded off, he said died at 60. Alayhi rahmatullah. So that was what Anas bin Malik did, radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Zahabi continued and said, وَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ مَوْجُودٌ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْعَرَبِ. Things like these are much. You find them a lot of it in the way Arabs speak. They also speak rounding off figures into tens, rounding off figures into fives, rounding off figures into twenties, into hundreds. That was why in some other narrations you see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it's in the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas, was even reported to have died at the age of 65. All these are roundups and Arabs are known to speak like that. The actual time the Prophet died, at what age he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he died at age 63. So if you read the narrations of 60, they are giving you roundouts to 60. If you read narrations of 65, they are giving you roundouts to of 5, which will be 65. So the explanation of Imam al-Zahabi. Like we said, if we look at Sahih Muslim, Sharh Sahih Muslim, and Imam al-Nawawi mentioned something like that. So we say that this book contains 42 narrations, and it's yet called Arba'un. It's in one of the ways the Arabs speak like that, rounding off figures, 42, 22, into 20 or 40, as the case may be. And like Imam Zahabi said, he said, وَمِثْلُ ذَٰلِكَ مَوْجُودٌ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْعَرَبِ. Things like these are found in great numbers in the way the Arabs speak. So that is as regards the narration. Because you see, the book actually contains 42. So why is it called 40? Why it is called 40 is that which has been explained. Also, why 40? Why Arba'un? Why Arba'un? And Imam al-Nawawi himself, alayhi rahmatullah, in the muqaddimah of the book, that we'll also read, inshallah. He said, وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. He said, the scholars have compiled works في هذا الباب regarding things like this, regarding 40s. We've been compiling something that is known in this ummah. He says, مَا لَا يُحْفَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ. Many narrations have been compiled like that. He said, وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مَا لَا يُحْفَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ. Many narrations, uncountable, have been mentioned. If we look at the book, Kashful Zunun is an encyclopedia of books that have been written since the history of Islam up to the time of the Imam who compiled the book. So for example, the books that has to do with Arabiya, Nahu. He's telling you who was the first person to write a book on that. In fact, he started from why did people start to write books? Why did authorship, writing books, how and why did it start? Who are the first people who started to write books? Kashful Zunun. So he starts to narrate and then he comes on to saying the virtues of writing books and the books that have been written in history, in different subjects. So you mentioned in Nahu, how did Nahu start? Which are the first books in Nahu to be written? We'll go to Balaga, how did it start? Which are the first books to be written? You'll go there, Hadith, Mustalah al-Hadith. The first books on Sahih, the first person who intended to compile all narrations to be authentic. Why? What led to it? And all this, it's in Kashful Zunun. So one of what you see in Kashful Zunun is a narration concerning or reports concerning who are the first persons to compile 40 narrations. So from there you get this benefit, and also from the muqaddimah of the book of Imam al-Nawawi himself, from the muqaddimah of Arba'un. It is not usually found in the ones, the prints that we should be reading in the Makranto. You will not find the muqaddimah of Imam al-Nawawi there. We will read the muqaddimah next week, inshallah. It's not usually found there. And aside from that, Imam al-Nawawi himself, he said in the Muqaddimah, he has ta'aliqat, where he was explaining strange words. Little ta'aliq on the hadith and some words that may be confusing. We don't also find that. We only see the 40 hadith. So al-hadith al-awwal. And that's why it's that al-amir al-mu'mineen. So, but it has the Muqaddimah. So in the Muqaddimah, and also like I said, in Kashful Zunun and in other books, we'll see a list of those who had written Arba'un before the time of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. So he himself mentioned some. So he told to us, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ. Many scholars have written many books regarding this matter, that is regarding 40 narrations. The first person that I know who wrote compiling 40 ahadith is Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak. The first person who compiled 40 ahadith was Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak. It's mentioned by Al-Imam al-Nawawi. And the author of Kashful Zunun was quoting Imam al-Nawawi that the first person who wrote on Arba'un was the Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak, alayhi rahmatullah, one of the greatest scholars of Islam that ever existed, and one of the richest persons in Islam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was stupendously rich. He went to Hajj every year till he died. He went to Hajj every year till he died with not less than 300 persons. And as they go, he will tell them to gather all their provisions. You provide something for yourself for Hajj, you provide for yourself, you provide for yourself. All of you, he will gather it, alayhi rahmatullah. And when he gathers it, he will now tell you to list what you need. You list what you need, gives you the money for what you need. So those things you have gathered for yourself before, you come back to meet it from Hajj. And it is reported that Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak, when he got to Medina, he will be asking to tell every person where they go to the market and say, buy what you want. He will just be paying for it. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, alayhi rahmatullah. And when they go to Makkah, the same thing. When he returned home, he come and pack there. Every person come and pack what he had prepared that he was taking to Hajj. And not only that, he will give them money to renovate their homes when they come back from Hajj. And not only that, he had great scholars to whom he was sending money. It was said that he spent more than 30,000 golden coins every year. One golden coin now, anyone who has 20 golden coins now is qualified to pay zakah. The zakah nisab of zakah that you see, is just 20 of those golden coins, 20 dinars. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's about a million now, is it? It's about 268,000 now. The nisab of zakah of dinar is about 268,000. The nisab of the zakah of dirham is about 70-something thousand. So you have 268,000, 20 in 30,000. Calculate how much is sent to scholars. People like Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad, they lived, they were not doing anything. They were eating from the money sent to them by Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Alayhi rahmatullah. So he was knowledgeable and he was stupendously rich. Alayhi rahmatullah. So he was said to be the first person who compiled Arba'un from the scholars of Hadith. The second person, he said, Summa Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi. So after Imam ibn Mubarak, he had Imam Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi, al-Alim al-Rabbani. He was a devout scholar, very, very engrossed in acts of devotion. Summa al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi. Then after him was al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasai. Because you can say Imam, you say An-Nasawi or you say An-Nasai. So Al-Imam An-Nasai is also Abu Abdurrahman, is also Al-Imam An-Nasawi. So the two words are rightly used. Then Al-Imam Abu Bakr Al-Ajuri. Al-Imam Al-Ajuri also in his time was one of the greatest scholars of Islam. He has many books. He has a book, Al-Sharia, hearing which he compiles a lot of narrations, ahadith, and mawqufat and mawqufat narrations that came up with the companions of Allah's Rasul radiallahu anhum. And he has mawqufat narrations that end up from Allah. You know, a hadith mawqu, it does not mean ma sahha qat'an. If they say, for example, sahih mawqu, it does not mean that this hadith is unarguably authentic. No, it means it is authentic إِلَى مَنْ أُسْنِدَ إِلَيْهِ, up to the person that the hadith is linked to. Because hadith maqtu is مَا أُسْنِدَ إِلَى مَنْ دُونَ الصَّحَابَ. مَا أُسْنِدَ إِلَى مَنْ دُونَ الصَّحَابَ. So what is attributed to all those who come from below the companions is referred to as maqtu'at. That are also generally known as afa, which will include mawqufat, if you say afa. So Al-Imam al-Hajjubi compiled them in his book, Al-Sharia. Very voluminous book. It's compiled and it's published. They are published versions of this book. Al-Imam al-Hajjubi. And his Arba'un also contains very, very nice and narrations that imbue patience, that imbue piety in one. Al-Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi, he has a tahqiq of Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Hajjubi. This Arba'un mentioned by Imam al-Nawawi here is also published. So أنذرت محمد بن إبراهيم رحمك الله محمد بن إبراهيم الأصفهاني also published also compiled 40 narrations. There are many others. Imam Daruqutni compiled 40 narrations. Imam Hakim compiled 40 narrations. Abu Qasim ibn Asakir, he has 40 narrations. Many of them. Imam Suyuti has 340 narrations. King Arbaun. Imam Suyuti. He has an Arbaun regarding issues of jihad. He has Arbaun on Rafu Yadin. Because that's one thing about the Arbaun. A scholar is compiling Arbaun, he will decide Arbaun on what? Arbaun on what? And Imam al-Nawawi told us, as the book itself indicates, that he is compiling Arbaun, fi mabani al-Islam, wa qawaid al-Ahkam. Things that have to do with foundations of Islam. And the foundation, rulings, things that have to do with foundations of the rulings of Islam. There are Arbaun fil jihad. It's Arbaun on issues of jihad. So you say issues of fadail al jihad, what to do during jihad, ahkam al jihad, ahkam al ghanim, and all this. We've seen that kind of a book on al Arbaun in jihad. There are some of them who compiled Arbaun on zuhud. Zuhud, you could translate it as asceticism. But zuhud actually means, because asceticism has some linguistic inclination of abandonment completely, just abandoning the enjoyment of the dunya. But it will not be complete, because it's not just abandoning the enjoyment of this dunya that is zuhud. It is abandonment of that which is permissible for you in this dunya to seek something greater than it. So, for example, it is generally permissible for us to sleep. Is it not permissible to sleep? Especially when the person is not sleeping away from the time of Salah. Even the one who is sleeping at the time of Salah is not sinful, because his own time has not reached. When he wakes up, he will perform the Salah. He has an excuse in the Sharia. But the one who leaves the time that he should sleep and stands up in the night, that's what Allah says. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. But they are abandoning their sleep for tahajjud, Allah will reward it. The time that they have things that are ordinarily makruhat, today one of what people refer to as a makruh is drinking while standing. So even when what is authentic regarding it is that it is haram. What is most authentic, Allahu A'lam, that it is haram. Because the tiag, the expressions used by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not indicate any permissibility in any form. He was saying zajara Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was saying naha Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was saying that he even told the one who drank to do what? To put his hands into his mouth and release the water. He was even saying alayhi salatu wa sallam, referring them to something like a dog or a cat. The Prophet will not be using these hard words for something that is ordinarily makruh. So ulama make tarji of wajhul tahrim. They give preponderance to proof to saying that it is prohibited than to say that it is makruh. And let's say for the purposes of argument that it is ordinarily makruh. Someone leaves standing, drinking while standing, even when it is makruh, to seek the pleasure of Allah, that yes, it means other than it is better than it. It means better than it, is better than it. So he does not do it. Seeking the pleasure of Allah by his leaving that which is lesser for that which is better. So all things like this are referred to as zuhud. So if you have a book, Al-Arba'un fi Zuhud, you see this kind of narrations. Narrations that make you consider this dunya as something that is funny, that is easy, and that will still, that is trifling, that will go away easily. So it makes you calm down. Makes you remember the day of Qiyamah, makes you remember the grave, makes you remember that everything that you say shall account for it, makes you remember things that will make you like to do khairat, good deeds. So Al-Arba'un fi Zuhud will discuss things like that. So there are narrations. So Sayyid Imam Suyuti alayhi rahmatullah, he has Al-Arba'un in jihad, he has Al-Arba'un in Raf'ul Yadayn fi Dua. He compiled 40 narrations regarding raising our hands when we perform, when we make dua, raising the hands. not rubbing the face. Nobody rubs his hands on his face. As he said, Ayah Rahmatullah Imam al-Nawawi, except two people. There are those who rub their faces with their hands. Some people increase, rub it on the face and other parts of the body. So if the one who rubs on the face is ordinarily stupid, the one who rubs on all parts of the body, the situation is worse. So he has Arba'un in Jihad, Al-Imam al-Suyuti, Jalaluddin Abdurrahman al-Suyuti, Al-Misri, alayhi rahmatullah. He has Arba'un in Jihad, he has Arba'un in Rafu Yadain Fidwa, and he also has Al-Arba'un Mutafarriqat. He just gathered 40 narrations, he really did find benefit, and he compiled them. Like we said, aside him, Al-Imam ibn al-Fakir, he has Arba'un. Also from those who have Arba'un are Imam ibn Hajar al-Haytami, Al-Makki al-Faqih, al-Shafi'i, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam ibn Hajar al-Haytami. He also has a sharh of Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. He did a commentary on Arba'un of Imam al-Nawawi, and he also compiled an Arba'un for himself. Imam ibn Hajar al-Haytami, Ahmad ibn Hajar al-Haytami. He's different from Ahmad ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Ahmad ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, naam, al-Shafi'i al-Misri also. But this one is Al-Haytami, Ahmad ibn Hajar Al-Haytami. They are different. Al-Haytami came before Al-Asqalani. Al-Haytami is the one who has a share of Arba'in. The one who has a share of Arba'in. He also compiled Arba'in. What Ibn Hajar did, alayhi rahmatullah, is to make takhrij of Al-Arba'in al-Nawawi. He did takhrij of Arba'in of Imam al-Nawawi. It's been mentioned in Kashf al-Zunun. Alayhim rahmatullah. So there are other scholars too who compiled Arba'un regarding the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Haytami has to do with Al-Adl wal-Adil. Al-Adl, justice, wal-Adil, and the one who is just. So it has to do with justice. So also from the scholars of the time, one of them is known to me who have compiled Arba'un. And Shaykh is Abu al-Harith. Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, Hafizahullah, he has an Arba'un. He has Al-Arba'un fi da'wati wa du'at. He called it Arba'un hadithan fi da'wati wa du'at. He compiled 40 narrations on da'wah and du'at. Da'wah and people who make da'wah. So he narrations on how to go about da'wah. Narrations. He also has Arba'un on akhlaq wa adab. Abul Haris Al-Halabi, Hafizahullah. So there are others too, but I think that suffices, inshallah. So the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi comprises of all these that we have mentioned. Al-Imam al-Nawawi also said that, وَقَدْ اسْتَخَرْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي جَمْعِ أَرْبَعِينَ حَدِيثًا اِكْتِدَاءً بِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْأَئِمَّاءِ الْأَحْلَامِ. He said, I compile these narrations after I had sought Allah's permission, Allah's guidance regarding the matter, and to follow in taking these scholars that we have mentioned as models. So he's not just doing it. Some scholars have done it before. So he's basing his action upon a good deed some other scholars have done. So let me also take in this good deed. Yes, things like this is something that people like to do. Oh, let me also compile 40. So don't go and start compiling 40 until you have reached the level of Nawawi. Yes. You don't say, oh, a good thing people do is opening clinics. And you're in medical school, you open a clinic. How is that? Someone is good to open clinic. Is it not to hospitals to help people, the sick? Is it not good? But can a capital open a clinic? Oh, okay, the one who is just learning how to be a doctor, can he also open a clinic? Or even a doctor that is freshly graduated from the higher institution, does he also open a clinic? So you see, the later he is, the more he delays it, acquiring knowledge and experience, the better it is for him when he finally opens it, is it not? Now what about the one who is not a doctor at all? If he opens a clinic, he must be trying to commit suicide. Or trying to be a murderer. It's either of the two. So the same thing applies. When we are not scholars, we don't try to do things like this. So what Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, because in his case, he was young. Ali rahmatullah, all of the years he spent on earth was 45. And all the books he wrote it within a period of 12 years. Maybe we should talk about that because of time. And Imam Nawawi has a lot of books. And Imam Sakhawi mentioned them to be about 50. So he wrote 50 books within a span of 12 years. One of the greatest works he did, alayhi rahmatullah, Al-Imam Nahawi Muhyiddin, even when he does not like to be called Muhyiddin. One of his greatest works was Sharh Sahih Muslim, Al-Minhaj, fi Sharh Sahih Muslim Ibn al-Hajjaj. He is in 18 volumes. He wrote it within a period of 2 years. Those of Sharh Sahih Muslim, those of you who know it, it was written within a span of 2 years. Wow, Mr. And there is no way a person reads Sahih Muslim if he has not read Sharh Sahih Muslim by, even if he has read others, like Al-Mu'allim, the Sharh Sahih Muslim, like Al-Imam Al-Marizi, Ikmal Al-Mu'allim, like Qadi Iyad. It is not like reading from Imam Nawawi's Sharh Sahih Muslim, explanation of Sahih Muslim. Alayhi rahmatullah. And the same thing applies, you have Riyadh al-Salihin. About every Muslim knows Riyadh al-Salihin. So he also has other books. He has Al-Majmu' Sharh Muhazzab. Al-Muhazzab is a book on fiqh, Mazhab al-Shafi'iyah. So Imam Nawawi took this book and did the sharh of it. He finished at Babu Riba, Buyur. He finished on the issues of Riba. And the book occurs in about 12 or 13 volumes. Yeah. All of them within a period of 12 years. Because of how he managed his time. He has other books too, Al-Azkar, Kitab Al-Azkar. It's a book that is also very popular. He compiled narrations because he was a very devout servant of Allah. That's another aspect of Al-Imam Nawawi. He was a devotee to Allah. He devoted his time. As he was so engaged in reading, learning, teaching, and authoring, he was also really, really devoted to issues that has to do with worship, ibadah, nawafil, song, fasting. He never wasted his time, alayhi rahmatullah. So within 12 years, he has all these to his credit. Rahimahullah. And like he said in a date, very interesting, that Al-Imam al-Sakhawi has compiled regarding him, has mentioned regarding him, that one of his students, Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman al-Attar, said this from Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. It's nice to read it. We may not have the time. He said, Al-Imam al-Nawawi wrote and said, Amutu wa yabqa kullu ma kasabtuhu. I will die and all of what I have written will remain. Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. He says, Amutu wa yabqa kullu ma kasabtuhu. I will die and all of what I have written will remain. Ya layta man yaqra'u kitabi wa da'aliyah. How I wish anyone reads this book, the one who reads this book, finishes or reads this book, and then supplicates for me. La'alla ilahi an yamuna bilutfihi. Perhaps my Lord will favor me from his abundant mercy. Wa yarhamu taqsiri wa su'i fi'aliyah. And as such, he will overlook my shortcomings and my sins. He was writing, yes, this book will remain. The one who wrote this book should remember to pray for me so that Allah forgives my sins and my shortcomings. This is common with pious people. This kind of statement is common with pious people. They do not rely on their good deeds to say that they become proud and then begin to look at themselves as, if not we, then who? There are many people affect you. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, this hadith is contained in the description of the death of Umar ibn al-Khattab. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. When he was stabbed, a man came to him and started to tell him, Ya Umar, anta khalifat rasul, and started to give fadail of Umar, started to mention his excellence and his virtues. The man turned to go and Umar said to him, I wish and I hope that Allah uses these good deeds to overweigh my shortcomings. He didn't say, yes, it's true, I'm Imam, Amirul Mu'mineen. The first person to be called Amirul Mu'mineen was Umar ibn al-Khattab. And we had mentioned some of his qabail when we were reading Usul al-Sunnah. And yet he was dying and he was being told that you don't have a problem. Even if you die from this tab, you are Khalifa. The Prophet told you, you enter Jannah. You are the first people who came into Islam. You made Hijrah from Makkah to Medina. You fought in the Battle of Badr. You made Bayah to Ridwan. So any one of these suffices to human being in this dunya and akhirah. And yet he says, I wish and I hope Allah will use this to cancel out my shortcomings. Because their sins are deep to them. This is the way of the power people. When their sins are deep to them, they run away from the sins. But the ones in whose sight their sins are small, they don't find any problem committing anything. They are either deceived by thinking Allah will forgive me, or they are deceived by thinking that I already have many good deeds. It is deception of shaitan. When he was doing this work, he was doing it with the intention that these books will remain. How many people on earth have read Al-Arba'un of Nawawi? How many people on earth? Just imagine. Imagine the number of people who have read this work. And he has reward. He has reward. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ وَأَجْرُ مَنْ أَمِلَ بِهِ He has his reward. And the reward of all those who have been reading Al-Arba'un. 45 years alone. Alayhi rahmatullah. The same thing Riyad Salihin. You can take a sample, just go around the masajid around. Only in this Adina alone. Count the number of masajid where they read Riyad Salihin between Maghrib and Isha. How many will you count? And go and do so in Kano. Go and do so in Sokoto. Go and do so in Maiduguri. Then go out of Nigeria to the Arab world. Countless. How many copies of it have been printed by publishers? And all the reward is in Allah goes back to Imam al-Nawawi. Alayhi rahmatullah. But yet he says, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah ilahi an yamunna lufsihi wa yarhamu taqsiri wa su'i fi aliyah. Perhaps Allah will look at all these and forgive my shortcomings. He asked Allah to forgive the Imam. Alayhi rahmatullah. So that was al-Imam al-Nawawi. We just tried to, there are so many other things we have thought we would be able to mention. But because of time, we'll not be able to mention so many of it. The scholars have mentioned that over 150 people, including the Imam himself, have done the Sharh of Al-Arba'un. Over 150 scholars. Some of them are very many, greatly eminent people, as far as knowledge is concerned in this Ummah. People like the Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Aid, Al-Misri, alayhi rahmatullah. He did the Sharh of Al-Arba'un of the Imam al-Nawawi. So they were eminent people. Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, he did Arba'un, Sharh Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he did Sharh Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. He added 8 other narrations to make 15. So and on then on, in the history, over 150. And today too, scholars are still doing the Sharh Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen, he did Sharh Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, Ibn Abdulaziz al-Sheikh, he did Sharh Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. Sheikh Salih Fawzan al-Fawzan, he did Sharh Arba'un of Imam al-Nawawi. So they read it to people, who hear it, from lessons from it, and all the rewards be given Allah goes back to Imam al-Nawawi for compiling the Arba'un. So all of this makes us understand that the Imam was from the greatest scholars of Islam, and the fact that Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah compiled Arba'un in following those who had come before him. But it's like there is no Arba'un that is known except that of Imam al-Nawawi. Even those who had written before him, there are so many. Alayhim rahmatullah. So that is bringing us closer to the book we want to read, so that we know its import and its value. And like we have said, all of what we have mentioned him to have done, there are things that are not possible except for someone who had made proper use of his time. Hafizun al-Waqt. Someone who was very careful regarding how he spent his time. This is from what people waste a lot today. Time. People waste their time. It is reported that Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, if someone visits him, as you greet him, salamu alaykum, he will respond to you, alaykum salam. He's doing his work. Alayhi rahmatullah. If you ask him a question, he will just respond to your question and he's continuing with his work. And if he sees that you want to start talking to him, he will look for a book in his bookstore and give it to you. Be reading it so that he will have the time continue with his work. Alayhi rahmat. And he had had that right from childhood. But it was said that when he was young, he was working on the streets. He was doing his murada on the road as he goes from one madrasa to the other. Of course, he was a very busy person. Alayhi rahmatullah. So when other children come to say, let's go and play with him, no, I don't have time for that. Right from childhood. And then until he grew up, he died at age 25. So if he had been spending the time watching football, spending the time reading magazines that are non-beneficial, spending the time on the internet, just browsing without any value, without any purpose, all these that people take now, just sitting there in front of the satellite and watching CNN 50 times, you watch all the newscasters repeating the news, the number of times that they are repeated, how will he do all this? So there is no person in the history of Islam that is known to have done some of what we have mentioned Imam al-Nawawi to have done, except that they cared for their time. Al-Imam al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah, it was reported, someone wrote a book on his biography, one of his students, Ali Omar is his name. He said he loved Sheikh al-Albani so much. He was living in Urdu at the time Sheikh al-Albani was in Damascus. He was busy in Maktabat al-Zahiriyya at the time. The man said one day after he graduated from the university, he said, let me go and greet Sheikh al-Albani. He went to meet him in Damascus. And he saw him where he was reading. So he greeted him, and Sheikh al-Albani just greeted him and continued his work. The man said, I felt so bad that he didn't accommodate me, teach me, at least let's interact with him. Sometime we have seen. He said, so he left, angry. He said the following time, he just thought, let me just go and greet the Sheikh. I love him. Let me just go and greet him again. So he went to meet him again in Maktabat al-Zahiriyya. This time the Sheikh now came to him and said to him, look, more than 25 people come to visit me here every day. If I turned to everyone, spoke with everyone, made tea for everyone in this library, I will not do anything. And all of time will go. So you will not be talking about Silsilat al-Sahiha in 14 volumes, Silsilat al-Da'ifa in 18 volumes, Irwa al-Galil in 13 volumes, and all these books. You will not be talking about that. So you would have wasted the time in talks that had no value. So let's watch this so that they do not take off our time. The Imam Nawawi, he gave back to books and he gave back to students because he did not marry. Alayhi rahmatullah. Many scholars have said many things why he did not marry. It was not him alone. After him, before him. Before him, Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, who wrote Tafsir al-Tabari. He also did not marry. Ibn Jarir. He did not marry too. Alayhi rahmatullah. So many others. And then after him, Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim, Ibn Abdul Salam, Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Harrani. He did not marry also. So there are scholars like that in the history of Islam. For one reason or the other, each of them have their reasons for not getting married. Even when marrying is the best because of the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the encouragement, the Quran encouraged us. But these people, even when they didn't marry, they had wives already in their books. Their books sufficed them. And they contributed what the Ummah is enjoying today of knowledge, of piety, of being models, of knowing what to do in what situations and all this, some of which are, perhaps if they didn't compile the books, we would not be sitting here today. So they made these efforts so that the deen will remain. But many of us, it's our wives that take all of our time. We are not able to do anything because we are busy with our wives. So women, men sit down and start dressing their wives. So what time will you take to learn? What time will you take to revise what you have learned? What time will you take to go and learn another one? What time will you take to practice? What time will you take to research? What time will you take to do all this? So we have to take care of our time and make sure we spend it properly. We said he gave back to books and students. One of his students was Al-Imam al-Mizzi, alayhi rahmatullah. He was from the students of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi, Abu al-Hajjaj, Yusuf al-Mizzi. He was from the students of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Anyone who is busy with the science of hadith definitely must know Al-Imam al-Mizzi, Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi. He was from the greatest scholars of Islam. He compiled a book that its kind is not known in the history of Islam, Tahzib al-Kamal, Fi Ma'rifat al-Rijal, in 35 volumes. Yes, he's from the students of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. alayhi rahmatullah. So these were the kind of people. You see, part of the problems, just this more on a lighter note before we round up. Part of the problems the Ummah faces today is because we do not know our scholars and we did not know how they lived. We did not know our scholars. The Ummah is not made to know about its scholars and how they lived. So it makes us see people who are not scholars as scholars. Yes. Because the Ummah has not been made to know, and it's a deliberate attempt, imma overtly or covertly. The Ummah has not, the Muslims do not know their past. I always give this example. A man has a father who is a hunter that kills elephants anytime he hunts. So he hunts and kills a rat. And he's dancing on the street that he has killed a rat. The people who knew his father to be a person who kills elephants, what would they call that boy? So this is the kind of thing, because the history of Islam is not being said to us. So when you read Arba'un al-Nawawi, you don't know who Nawawi is. You don't know him. You read Tafsir ibn Kathir, you don't know who Ibn Kathir is. You read Nailul Awtar, you don't know who Shawkani is. You read Subul Salam, you don't know who Amir al-San'ani is. You read Riyad al-Salihin, you don't know who Nawawi is. You read Fatul Bari, you don't know who Ibn Hajar is. So what qadr, what honor will you give to it? Because sometimes we respect the courses people do in the university because they think a professor wants 200 years. Yeah, professor. So but they haven't done anything. Many of them, with regards to what our scholars knew and did and left as works, they all of their lives, times 100 have not left its time. What work will you take to compare an 18-volume Sharh of Sahih Muslim by Imam Nawawi from a professor, emeritus? Nothing. Nothing. So we should understand these things like this. So when we read from Nawawi, from Al-Arba'un Nawawiyah, we understand the person who is compiling this work, the intention behind the compilation, and some of these benefits will be mentioned as we read along, inshallah. So like we said at the beginning, today will be very brief, and we'll just take a little time to introduce the book to us and the author to us. That's just what we have tried to do. We pray Allah to accept it as an act of worship, and we hope that it is understood better than it is said. Inshallah, by next week, we'll go to the words of Imam Nawawi himself in the Muqaddimah of the book, Al-Arba'un Nawawi. It's about 2.5 pages. We'll read it through next week, inshallah, giving it brief explanation, bi-iznillah. And then the following week, we start with the hadith itself, the first hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astakfiru lali wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. Bismillah. Nah. He was a merchant. Alayhi rahmatullah. He sold clothes. Ibn Mubarak was a seller of clothes. Another seller of clothes in the Ummah was Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. He was a seller of great merchants. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani was stupendously rich too. Hafiz ibn Hajar, who did Fathul Bari and many other books. He was rich. So he was a merchant. There were many of them. And Imam al-Lays ibn Sa'd al-Misri. Imam al-Lays, in his time, he was the one who made Al-Imam Malik not to do any work. Imam al-Lays. He was doing two things for Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Dar al-Hijra, alayhi rahmatullah. You know Imam Malik? He made him not to do any work. Say, Malik, sit down in Masjid al-Nabawi and be teaching people hadith. So Imam Malik sat down there. So over intervals, Imam Malik will write him. He said, write to me your debts. And write to me your needs for the next 1 year. In terms of clothes and food and money. So he write it. Send it to Cairo. Send it to Misra. And Imam Malik ibn Sa'd will send the money, his debts, and what he will spend, and clothes. He will send over 100 forms, clothes, abans, caps, shoes. loads them on the horses and send them to Imam Malik in Medina. So Imam Malik didn't do anything than teaching. For 40 years he was teaching Muwatta. That's why we have Muwatta art. Various narrations of Al-Muwatta. Over 40. So when a student comes, it is the one that he meets that he will report from Imam Malik. It is the one that he meets. So Malik, ayy rahmatullah, didn't have anything than teaching people. You know, the rich people want to eat their money alone. They are not looking for ways of entering al-Jannah with it. Like this. Because you don't compare the works of someone teaching people knowledge. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the reality of this world, he said, "Ad-dunya mal'una, mal'unum ma fiha, illa zikrullah, wa ma, wa what? Wal-alimu wal-muta'allim." What he exempted, when he says zikrullah wa ma wala, as the scholars have said, that he mentioned al-alim wal-muta'allim ala sabilin misal. Ma wala zikrullah. Al-alim wal-muta'allim. Because they are the most important of any other thing that is like zikr. Because if you have alim and muta'allim, zikr of Allah and his messenger will be going on. But when the alim can't do anything to retain his knowledge, the zikr of Allah will go. Zikr of Allah will go. And when there's no zikr of Allah, expect oppression, expect insecurity, expect every kind of evil that you know. That was why when Ibn Mubarak was now asked, why are you spending this huge money on the people? He said, these are the people who hold the dunya. If they are not, and they have their hawaij, if they are not there, there will be commotion on earth. They have to be taken care of. But today, the people who are even trying to explain Alibaba to people, they are all busy. But the people don't have time. They have to spend for themselves. Unfortunately, those who have excess, they are either keeping the excess in their banks or wasting the excess. So those people saying Alibaba to those people, they are suffering. So in the end, they say, look, please don't disturb me. In one of the cities around us here, one of the students who was learning from one of the scholars was complaining that the class of the scholar has ended, stopped. He's a PhD holder who is of great benefit. His class has stopped. And when I met him, he was saying to me, look, my brother, my movements are many now. So where is Zikrullah? So the dunya will go back to being what? Mal'una. Mal'una. That was the first benefit Al-Imam Layth ibn Sa'd did. The second benefit was that he would tell him, those questions they ask you, you can't answer, write them to me, I'll give you the answer. Al-Imam Layth ibn Sa'd, stupendously rich. And he used to say, if it's not for this money, those kings will be oppressing us. Imam Layth ibn Sa'd will say, it's not that this wealth Allah has given us, those rich people do not allow us to beat those kings. But they know that we have money. He was rich. He was a learned person. So, because another extreme position is that people think that for any person to be learned, he must be a peasant. He must be begging the people. He must be relying on the people. No, that the people, that the learned people and those who teach people Islam are giving money, they are for those who don't have any other thing. They should be given. They should be helped. If not, there will be commotion as we have it now. It is deen that will not make somebody like to come and take a gun to harass somebody in the night. He knows that he's afraid of Allah. He is planning to make tahajjud. Somebody who is planning to make tahajjud, is it the one who will bring gun to you in the midnight? But he is not reminded that he has to make tahajjud. There is nobody to tell him, taqwallah. So there is no taqwallah there. So he can do anything to anybody. Because those people they are not taken care of, they are left. The money, billions of dollars, can be spent on sports festivals. How many madaris have been assisted? So things like this, they are rich people who spend money, their own money, apart from what the government spends. They say sports, they are assisting the government, they are assisting. But what about the madaris? Many madrasas are folding up because they can't sustain the payment of the salary of the teachers. Those people, they leave it, they go and go to poly, go and do POND. Someone who is Hafiz of Quran is doing POND. Someone who is Hafiz of Quran is doing OND. It's insult. Because if he's not careful, he will forget all of the Quran. into OND marketing. I'm not saying marketing is bad, but how someone memorizes the Quran and knows Arabic is in the position to teach people Islam, now remove him from that place and say it is 3-8-ND, 3-OND you should be doing. You have wasted him. You have wasted him. He will become useless. So this thing is common in the community. So people now are just themselves alone. So I believe the knowledge of the deen. One time they go and find one old man, when they build one mosque in their house, he should be imam, they give him 10,000 per month. And when they finish the salat masjid, they walk out of the masjid and tell the imam to be reading Riyadh al-Salihin to nobody. This is what they do. They build one mosque, go outside their house, call one old man, be reading Riyadh al-Salihin, they are out of the mosque. This thing with their mates outside. When they call Isha, they come into the masjid again. Because, and the man will read it. Will he not read it? If he does not read it, what will he eat? So these are the kind of things you find in the community. So when things like don't forget the hadith, Adunya Maluna, to remain like that. So they will not notice people, fight them, people kill them, people. What kind of things to them? Security. Even in their hearts, they will not know security. That's why they build houses today. Their fences are bigger than their houses. Allah Mustafa. So that was the source of the money of Ibn Mubarak. He was a trade merchant. Alayhi rahmatullah. Nawawi. Well, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The Prophet is the best of examples. عليه الصلاة والسلام. But if someone has a reason not to marry, the issue is our deen is a deen of manners. Do you understand? Our religion is a religion of manners. It takes manners and people's honor into consideration when it does things, when it gives rulings. And the scholars too, over the years, they are like that. Only Allah knows, like I said, the reason why some of these scholars did not marry. Some of them maybe because they are busy with knowledge. Some of them because they didn't even have the money to take care of a woman. And Imam Nawawi has a word that someone was telling him one time to marry. He said, no, I don't think I'll be able to take care of a woman. So some of them were afraid on the day of Qiyamah when Allah asked them, the right of your wife, did you fulfill it? So they said, oh, let me leave that one. Let it be myself. Let me be only be answering for myself. So kullukum ra'in. So let me just be alone. Wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. So let me just be the only one. They are so much afraid of the day of Qiyamah. Perhaps if it were that they didn't have interest in it. They didn't have interest. It could also be that they may have personal failures, human beings. Maybe they have medical problems. They are on their own. They don't think that they should marry with it. They are just giving various possibilities. So if that they have a problem, nobody will tell him, he tells him, ah, you know, now you are like, nobody will tell you, teach him to this. What has that to do with his knowledge, if it is that? So they will just say, they don't know, only Allah knows the reason why. But like he has said, alayhi rahmatullah, the closest thing that the scholar said regarding that of Imam al-Nawawi was that he was so conscious of the day of Qiyamah and the grave and the issues of hukuk, rights. So he said, oh, let me leave them. So that I don't have to start answering for people. And look at, he died at age 45. Alayhi rahmatullah. When he died, his father and his mother were alive. Alayhi rahmatullah. But he's never been forgotten till today, since he died. He died 764, 45 years. From 1430. How many years? Over 700 years. Since that time till now, the Muslims have been knowing Nawawi. So even if he had 50 children, what has he lost? If he didn't have any child, as is the case, he has gained a lot. If he had 50, the kings at the time married 4, 5, 6, 7, 20. They were marrying and divorcing, having children. So where are they today? If you have to mention any of the kings at that time, it's because you want to talk about Nawawi. It's not because he wants to talk about the king. So they even gave the king prominence in history. So if you say the Imam al-Nawawi says the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Imam Hurmuzi alayhi rahmatullahi said, kafa lil muhaddis sharafan an yakun ismuhu makrunan bi ism an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It suffices the scholar of hadith as a honor. But each time they say call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will mention their own name too. It suffices for Bukhari alayhi rahmatullahi. Where are the children of Bukhari? Where is his house? He's not Muslim, where is his house? But the things they did on the part of the deen is remaining, it will remain like that forever. So, Allahu Alam. The best of examples is in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, alayhi rahmat, radiyallahu anhumah, he said, khayrukum, aksarukum, al-nisa. The best of you is, those of you is the one amongst you with the most of women. It's not saying the best Muslim is the Muslim who has many more wives, even when that is possibly correct, that the best amongst any one of us is the one who has more wives. But what he's saying, radiallahu anhuma, is that the best in this ummah, who was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aksarukum al-nisa, is the one who has the largest number of wives. He had 11, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, khayrukum, the best of you. The Prophet also told us, he said, ana khayrukum wa atqakum, I'm the best of you, most pious amongst you. So following is in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. But if for any reason anyone does not have a reason not to marry, then he also has in these people أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Now, you have asked your two questions. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.
Some things that we hear from some youth today, actually that's from our forum. There are some youth that go to the extent of saying that books like the book of Imam Nawawi, people should not read them, and even go to the extent of making textiles of this cinema. What should be the position of a right-minded Muslim to this?
Well, there are two aspects to the question. The aspects of those who do that, and the aspect of those who don't do that. The question was only appearing to be on the second aspect, but it's also nice to talk about the first aspect too. Those who do that, only do that immer from two things. One, ignorance. Because they are ignorant. You know what I was saying? If someone who is a carpenter opens a clinic, he's either a murderer or he wants to commit suicide. It's either of the two. So if someone who can't even write his name in Arabic starts to make statements like this, then something is really wrong with him. It's from the levels of ignorance. Such people and what they say should not be given consideration at all, because they don't have the skills to say that. If someone comes from the market now, someone selling tomato and pepper and says, in the throat here, there is a valve called, she names it, gives it a name. Those people who study ear, nose, and throat, what would you say to that person? Please, no, don't say that. Who are you? They won't even say, what is your evidence? Unfortunately, when people like this make their statement, people start asking them, what is your evidence? Somebody whose statement should not even be given consideration, you are asking him, what is his evidence? Who is he? But you know, if such person says, an imam so-and-so says that, you can now go ahead. But if the woman says, professor, right, warning thing from Living Spring University in Canada, how you start listening. Is it not so? You understand? So for these people, you will not hear them say, Imam so and so say we should do so and so. Do you understand? So in the first place, they should not be listening to. They don't have a place to say that. The second thing is that may lead them to say that, like we said, is extremism, gulu. Gulu, and of course from what brings about gulu is ignorance. But the fact of the matter is that Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah is not as they say. They say he's Ash'ari alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Nawawi Yahya Sharafuddin, these kind of people say that he's Ash'ari. We explained, I think, when we were doing Usul al-Sunnah, that those who are referred to as the Ash'ariyah, they are those who take after Al-Imam Al-Ash'ari, one of the scholars of Islam, in between the three the 3rd and the 4th century of Islam. Very learned, but he was engaged in things that has to do with kalam, rhetorics. He had disposition to the Mu'tazila and their philosophizing. So he was influenced by them and he took their ideas in the early parts of his life. Some of the scholars have said that towards the end that he came back fully into Sunnah. But what happened was that later he changed from being a Mu'tazila and he had his own firqa too. He was refuting the Mu'tazila and was saying things that negated what the companions were upon from Sunnah. So he is known for issues that have to do with tafweed. Asma'illah he was sifat. But he's making tafweedul ma'na. Tafweed of the names of Allah and his attributes is to say, for example, regarding this attribute of that. You know there are different types of sifat. We have sifat zatiyah and fa'liyah. And we have different types of zatiyah. And we have different types of two or three types of fa'liyah also. But let's take an attribute, zatiyah, his hands, khabariyah. This is zatiyah. There is zatiyah khabariyah, there is zatiyah ma'nawiyah. The attributes of Allah that are ma'nawiyah. For example, his ilm, his kudra, his hayat. Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu. So these attributes, life, knowledge, are referred to as sifatu, as zatiyah, because they are with Allah's presence, al-ma'nawiyah. Do you understand? The other aspects are sifatullahi, as zatiyah, al-khabariyah. He's just telling us about them, like his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has hands. He has eyes. So, and he told us he has them. So because he told us about them regarding himself, we have to believe it. But the Ash'ariya, they would say Allah's hand means his kudra, his ability, his power. It does not actually mean a hand. So they make what they refer to as ta'wil. But the ta'wil making is the position of the Mu'tazila. But the Ash'ariya have a way in between. Like we said, will refute the Mu'tazila and say, no, Allah actually has a hand. Or they can say, we don't even know the meaning. Complete tafweed. We don't know the meaning. But what is correct is, there are two forms of tafweed. The tafweed of the people of Sunnah and the tafweed of the people of innovation. There is tafweed al-ma'na and tafweed al-kayfiyah. These things will be complex. But let's just try to mention an example. So they will say, yes, Allah has a hand. We don't know the hand. We don't know whether he has a hand or not. But Allah told you he has a hand. We don't know the meaning. But the scholars of Sunnah say Allah has a hand because he says he has a hand. We leave it like that as he has said it. Don't forget, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal told us about that. So Allah says, Yadullah fawqa'idihim. Yadullah fawqa'idihim. It's Yad. So this is the ma'na of Yad. We know the meaning of Yad. But some people say Yad. How is the yad? Kayfiyah of the yad, we say we don't know. So the Ahlul Sunnah, we make the tafweed of kayfiyah, but they will make it part of what? Ma'na. We know the meaning, but we don't know how it is. And we know that not every eyes are the same. Not every eye is the same. Even we human beings, we all have eyes here, alhamdulillah. Do all our eyes see in the same manner? So if there is difference between the created, why not there must be difference between the creator and the created? Even in what you refer to as time. The fact that they share the same name does not mean that the attributes are all the same in every form. This is the position of the people of Sunnah. But they would say, no, we don't know this, we don't know whether it's hand or not, we don't know anything. They make complete tafweed. So this tafweedul ma'na plus tafweedul kayfiyah is innovation. But what the scholars of Sunnah say, which is the Sunnah and the correct thing, is that we make isbatul ma'na and we make tafweedul kayfiyah, all working with the text of the Quran. Do we understand? So the attribute of Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, and of course if you go to some places in Sharia Sahih Muslim, you find things like this in it. One, two places. Three. The scholars have said that these words are not directly from him. They are imma from al-Imam al-Marizi or from al-Imam Qadi Iyad al-Maliki. But that, why did he not refute it? Why did Imam al-Nawawi not refute it? We say, okay, he refuted it. So there's an article he wrote, alayhi rahmatullah, 7 months to his death, which is the only article he wrote on Aqidah. And in it, he was affirming the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah regarding all these matters and was attacking the Ash'ariyah. So how true will it be now that he was Ash'ari? Do we understand? It's either we say, okay, he had those mistakes because he was quoting from some people and did not say, I'm quoting so-so-so. He quoted their words and he heard regarding it. Or that he actually had it, but he changed his position. That he died upon Ash'ariyah and so his book should be burnt and all this is nothing other than ignorance. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah died as a scholar from one of the people of Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. I did not have any problem that is known with the Aqidah of the Ash'ariyah. And that's why I say those who say that his book should be burnt, they are talking from ignorance. Let's say the Dalilian from argument that, yes, he died as Ash'ari. Because he died as Ash'ari, then what? We just ask Allah to forgive him. The verse is there. رَبَّنَا غُفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That is one. Secondly is that the scholars that are known from the scholars of Sunnah, they made mistakes. So pray Allah to forgive their mistakes. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, زَجْتَادَ الْمُجْتَهِدِ. They made ijtihadat. And they heard. They made mistakes. Even when we say yes, the issues of aqid are not issues from which one can make ijtihad. But they made efforts regarding gathering the text that they had. And they relied on it. And they erred. So they are not to be decried and said their books should be burnt regarding all this. We say Allah to forgive them. That does not make them kufar. Because there is difference between kufur and the kafir. There is difference between kufur, disbelief, and kafir, disbeliever. Someone can commit an act of kufur does not mean that he's a disbeliever. Someone can commit an act of kufur does not mean that he's a kafir. Someone can make a statement of kufur does not mean that he's a kafir. I think we discussed these issues. Some things must take place, like establishing hujjah against him. Ulama say not irad al-hujjah, like tafhim al-hujjah. So if it is known that someone called Imam al-Nawawi started to explain to him that this that is if you have their opinion that the Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah died upon that, which is not the correct thing. Do you understand? We are just talking, you know, for the purposes of argument. So if someone says, no, Imam al-Nawawi died upon Ash'ariyah, we say, okay, did you make tafhim or did you find anywhere where he was made to understand the right Aqidah and yet he did not understand? If he says, no, he says, you can't rule him that he's a kafir based on that. Do you understand? There is difference between kufur and the kafir. There is difference between shirk and the mushrik. Not everyone who makes a statement of kufur is a kafir. And not everyone who acts or says anything of kufur is a kafir or mushrik, as the case may be. The companion told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, ma sha'allahu, kama shi'ta. He says, atajalani lillahi niddan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are making me an associate with Allah, niddan. Ja'alullahi niddan. Atajalani lillahi niddan. Are you making me equal with Allah? To make someone equal with Allah, what is it? So what did the Prophet do, alayhi salatu wa sallam? He gave him tafheem, hujjah. So don't do that, do this. He said, kul ma sha'Allah faqat. As it's in the report of Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. So what people will say, oh no, you tajalani lillahi niddan, mushrik. So this is a position of the people of ignorance and innovation. So we will not give any contribution to what they say. And our attitude to things like this is that we should continue to learn so that with knowledge we can know that which is right and will not give consideration to what they say. Because they are not from the people who should make such a statement. Allahu alam. I think we'll make this the last question. Now, alaykum salam.
My question is, there is no interest in current accounts and there is no interest in the savings account. Are we supposed to be using
using the money or using the accounts? Or the two? Well, maybe we start from that. The ulama say it is not correct to use them. The two. They say it's not correct to open an account that opening an account is ta'awun ala al-ithm wal udwan, because that is helping upon sin and unrighteousness. So that is prohibited, because once you open an account, you are strengthening the bank. But some of us are saying, okay, there is darura now. There is practically anything. There is not practically anything we can do today except you have bank account. So some say, Allahu Alam, open the account, but don't leave any money there. Once you open the account, remove everything. Once you open the account, remove everything. Some say, oh, if we remove everything, armed robber will come and meet us in the house. It's okay, not everyone is susceptible. If there's anything you are doing that makes you think that it is possible that armed robbers come and meet you in the house, then you keep the money elsewhere. But if there are things that you don't look susceptible in any way and you don't behave like that in any way, keep your money with yourself. Or even at that, people say, before now, where were people keeping money before banks started operating? At least banks started, they have a history. The Rothschilds and all these people, they started one day. Before they started, how were people keeping their money? The issue is today, Muslims don't like to solve problems. We like to live with the problems. The Muslims can evolve ways of keeping the money. Unfortunately, there are draconian laws all around that will not make you be able to do that. Such that once you collect 1, 2, 3, 4 people's money now, police will come to you and say, oh, you violated CBN's law, so. So that's why what needs to be changed in the community, they are much, beginning from how the people think about Allah, their rights to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will make them, when they understand these things, to easily leave those things, just like the Prophet did, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are things that people are living with today, but basically they are wrong. They are wrong in the Sharia. And everyone who has an account there will know how he will settle that with Allah on the Day of Qiyamah. If he has a reason, he knows. On the Day of Qiyamah, Allah knows. If he doesn't have a reason, then he's between him also and Allah. Yes. The other thing on buying the shares, with rights to buy the shares. But like we said in the first case, before we go to the second one, as much as is possible, the person should relieve himself of the burden. Like not keeping money there, or like removing the, if he has a saving account, removing the losses they put on the money. I don't want to call it gain, it's loss, it's spoilage. Removing it, besides the interest, removing it as much as possible, and making things easy for himself or easier for himself as much as possible, reducing his interaction with the bank as much as possible. So that is advice for those people who still keep the accounts. But the best thing is that someone does not keep it at all. He says, as from the hadith we read, he says, إِنَّمَا الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنَا وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامُ بَيِّنَا. He says, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَةٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا أَوْ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبْهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبْهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Perhaps when we discuss this hadith, we'll mention things like the same thing applies to issues of buying shares. All issues related to buying shares, yes, buying shares, agreeing, coming together, pull resources together to do business is right. But number one, the business you do together must be halal business. Else, it will make your interaction to be haram. So it means if you buy a share in a company that runs a haram business, it is haram too, because you'll be cooperating upon evil. If you buy a share in a company that runs a halal business in a haram manner, do you understand? Maybe a company sells sugar, but they'll get money from you and put it in CBN, like one of the companies recently. They put it in CBN and the interest will be growing. So and they come and share the interest to people so they have made profit. So you know the basic thing about the business is halal, selling sugar. Is it not halal? But how it is done is haram. So before you buy a share, one, it is a company dealing in things that are basically halal. So it means buying a share in a brewery is haram. Buying a share in a bank is haram. Buying a share in places where, hotels where prostitutes and all these people go is haram. Number two is that doing a business with a group of people who carry about that business in haram manner, do you understand, it's also wrong. So these two things, we must watch it when we buy shares from companies. That's some general rules regarding share purchase and all these. For Muslims, we like to see also where will we keep our excess money? Where will you keep this? Where will you keep that? Is it all the excess money you want to own? You don't have people you give sadaqa. You want to carry all the excess to the day of Qiyamah. Ibn Mubarak, now we say he has money for you want to follow to have money like him. Did he keep all and try to carry all to the day of Qiyamah? He was giving the people and spending the money. So it's not obligatory that you must buy shares. That one you used to buy shares, distribute it to people who need it. You have more reward. Al-adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin alim. Tuminuna billahi wa rasulihi. Tujahiduna fi sabilillahi. Biamwalikum wa anfusikum. Zalikum khairun lakum. In kuntum ta'alamun. May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah forgive us for our mistakes and our shortcomings. Kulu ma kulu hadha wa astaghfiru lali wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum. Forex. It has one major problem. First, it will be like just changing the money exchange, because money exchange is correct if it is done right on the spot. Money exchange is right if it is done right on the spot. Money exchange is right from one form of money to the other is correct if it is done right on the spot. Not that you give him dollars and you tell him to come back tomorrow and collect his own pound sterling. No, take the dollar, collect your pound sterling on the spot. It is correct. For the price that suits both people who are in negotiation. There are a lot of narrations from the Prophet ﷺ regarding things like this. But when they trade on the forex, Allahu Alam, the money is not really, really available on the ground. The money is virtual. The money they have with which they trade is virtual money. It's not a money that's really, really existing. So things like this make these trades to be non-pound. There are a lot of fatwa on that, and its summary is that these forex trades have indices, one of which is what is mentioned, that the money does not really exist, because you can't transact two things that do not exist, or you can't transact what exists with something that does not exist. So the two must exist. You must transact it on the spot, 1 to 2. You can change silver and gold, 1 to 2 on the spot. You can change gold and gold, 1 to 2 on the spot. So, of the same kind. There are rules on all this. So, but the forex exchange, like we said, has problems of being on the spot, really, really having the money available, amongst other things that are in it. Allahu Alam. Assalamu alaikum.